What if every time you had an interaction, that recommendation showed up on your LinkedIn profile? Hey, it's Jeff with Publisher Parish FM, the program for marketing-minded sales leaders and sales-minded marketing leaders. And in this journey, the goal for the program today is slow. To focus on how to ruthlessly protect your time and stay and really excited to jump into the program today. And of course, we break it down into three segments. First, key learning segment. Second is our transformation segment, and we're on step 2 of 7 in our journey to transform from a sales leader to a thought leader. And then third, we're going to do the recommendation segment. So let's jump right in, starting with key learning segment. So to answer the question, one way to ruthlessly protect your time and stay highly productive is always have a strategy and goals. And we talked about goal setting last week, and then strategy specifically to achieve those goals, very critical. And if you're doing something that doesn't directly positively impact your team or your client or your goals, don't do it. Don't do it. Please stay highly productive. And having a strategy to govern this process is phenomenal. And really setting the strategy is the key to success, because it gives you the North Star or a guiding principle to focus on. Yeah, and for example, if you've ever been called to an internal meeting where the agenda is meandering and unclear and it's a little too long and it doesn't either meet your team goals, your client goals, or your personal goals, I would get out and encourage that person in the next meeting to call it at 7 a.m. And if you have a meeting at 7 a.m., like a ridiculously early hour to get a bunch of people together, you better believe that agenda will be very crisp and very tight and extremely productive. And so if you think of every meeting like it's being held at 7 a.m., you'll be sure to have a great productive session. So, you know, we'll actually dig into the elements of strategy here in segment number 2. But before we do that, let's focus on some more key learnings this week. Really spent a lot of time around social selling, of course, and driving social selling adoption across our client service team and our leadership team. And, you know, the benefits of social selling are clear. It's pretty obvious as to the value, but driving adoption is really a trick. And so one of my colleagues this week saw a contact that he had, a connection he had that we presented to and pitched a couple years ago and didn't win the business. And this contact resurfaced as with a job anniversary. So he gave him a like and a little congrats. And wouldn't you know it, lo and behold, that connection replied back and said, "Hey, thanks, nice to hear from you, I've been thinking about you." So that stirred, you know, a little spark in the mind of our connection and our contact. So much so that a day later, he hit our website, filled out a contact us form. You know, and those forms, they fast track straight to my inbox and our team's inbox, and we called him back within, I think, 3 minutes, which is the goal. We always try to call back within 5 minutes when we get a contact us form, a direct request for a callback. And that little interaction that started with this little spark, a little like, a little congrats on LinkedIn, led to a meeting next week. And look, it's probably just a catch-up meeting to kind of see where we all are and how we've all progressed over the past 2 years since we last spoke to him. But it's a wonderful person at a great company that we'd love to work with. And so over time, we're building that relationship, and over time, we'll probably all figure out a way to work together. So that's a great adoption story that really got the attention of my colleague. And a second one, second social selling adoption story, one of my team members works on a consistent basis with a global enterprise B2B firm, and he's stuck at the manager level, stuck at the marketing manager level. And this person, this marketing manager, is a wonderful person, but very protective. And he won't let my colleague go up to his boss, his director and VP. He kind of has him trapped, right? So knowing that, I'm, you know, doing my due diligence, poking around LinkedIn Sales Navigator. I load up the account. I load up multiple leads. And I'm just looking at updates. And I see that their global head of procurement blogs about leadership topics on a consistent basis. And he puts them on pulse on a weekly basis. He's actually got a great consistent schedule blogging about leadership topics. And he provides links to resources. And that's super cool. And we spend a lot of time focusing on leadership topics as well. And just simply, he's a neat guy with really great ideas, and I appreciate what he's sharing. And so I showed him I appreciated it, and I gave him a comment about my appreciation and some of the resources that he shared. And that mild interaction, once again, that little spark, you better believe the next time we're in to see this enterprise client, I'm going to go ask for this person, because we've started the very beginnings of a relationship on LinkedIn and commenting and swapping leadership stories. And that's just a great way, once again, to build relationships at scale, to do it in a positive and productive way. And once again, yes, it's towards getting a deeper relationship with the organization, which we will hope for, you know, will result in growth both for them and for us. But it's also really about just connecting with like-minded people. And I just, you know, really got a lot out of that topic. So once again, social selling and driving adoption. And every time I see something interesting come across the feed, I, of course, shoot it to my colleagues and give them an opportunity to connect as well. So really learned a lot about social selling and driving adoption this week. And so much so, you know, we have the keeping track of the SSI. I popped it to a 95. Once again, it's not a vanity metric. It's just a way to really document the effectiveness of my ability to share knowledge, build a network, and have great relationships. But I did publish more on Pulse this week. And I also have taken to sending a lot more emails and connecting with former contacts, people I haven't talked to in a while, or people that I'd like to work with. Once again, sharing information, knowledge, appreciation of their point of view. And that approach, once again, building relationships, you know, in baby steps, really is turning out to be quite effective. So we'll continue on that path of social selling. And of course, if you want to talk about any social selling adoption stories, I'd love to hear yours as well. All right, so segment two, let's keep moving. Transfer. We are on step 2 of 7 of our transformation from sales leaders to thought leaders. And step one, of course, is goal setting. Step two is developing a documented content marketing strategy. And documented it is the key word. You literally have to write it down and post it somewhere so it's documented, so it governs your approach. So a documented content marketing strategy, of course, always starts with a mission statement. And the mission statement is critical. Once again, it's your North Star, according to my friend Johnny Naster. And the mission statement is comprised of who's the target, what's delivered, and the outcome. And I've spent a lot of time developing mission statements, and of course I've learned a lot from Joe Polizzi at the Content Marketing Institute, really have studied how he's developed mission statements and their teachings on mission statement development. But it's really critical. Once again, back to our core theme, how to be ruthlessly protective of your time and stay highly productive. A strategy and a mission statement frames how you operate. And once again, if there's something that's outside of how you're operating, something that's happening that is kind of beside, don't do it. Don't do it. Just stay highly productive. So, you know, when we talk about developing a mission statement, who, you know, the target, number one, that's the biggest aspect, the one we want to drill into specifically. And the way we like to think about it, you can think about it in one of two ways. So the famous podcaster John Lee Dumas talks about the avatar and his one perfect client or his one perfect audience member, or an alternative way to think about it as a persona, which is a persona is a composite of behaviors and characteristics of that individual that can frame your mission statement. But once again, in the spirit of a content marketing strategy and developing your target, your who, the goal is to really refine it to the extent that it resonates very specifically and directly with the target audience. And you want almost to the point where if you're targeting everyone, you're targeting no one. And so, you know, to John Lee Dumas, you know, he talks about the avatar, and he actually went into it at length on Brian Clark's podcast this week called Unemployable. But really, who is that one perfect person that you are programming to, or you're trying to reach, and you're developing your content marketing strategy for, your sales strategy, and having a remarkable message and a way to resonate and engage that person pays dividends. Because if you can command some content, command some information that resonates with one person, you'll then, as a function of that, commanding that, building an expertise, and that will start to resonate with many people. So definitely encourage you to really focus on the who when we're talking about mission statements. The other components of the mission statement, what's delivered and the outcome. So what's delivered? Basically, hopefully it's knowledge, information, education, entertainment, but on a consistent basis, you want to really talk about content and information, not about your products and services, of course, but related to your products and services. So once again, showing an application, an experience, something that you're going to commit to delivering on a consistent basis. And then third, the outcome for your audience. How will they grow by consuming this information? What positive impact will you make on them by consuming the information? So it's not about our products and services and our outcome, it's about their outcome. And once again, do nothing outside. Once you set the strategy and, you know, really we'll call it a content marketing mission statement, framing who's the target, what's delivered, and the outcome really helps to keep you highly productive and effective, because doing anything outside of that won't help you achieve your goals and help you achieve your target. So, you know, mission statement development is pretty straightforward, but once again, if you need any help or want to jump into that a little bit, just let me know, give me a ring, hit me on Twitter, and we'll certainly work through mission statement development. We have a part two to this step two, which is really framing not only the target, the persona, or your, you know, your perfect avatar, but then their buyer's journey. So when we have a documented strategy, we not only want to consider the target, but then their current place in their buyer's journey and how we can frame their experience as a function of the buyer's journey from status quo all the way to decision and commitments. So look for that next week, and let's keep going to keep things moving. We're going to segment three now. So our review segment. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, I listen to probably 20 to 25 hours per week of podcasts due to my long commute. I have about an hour and 15 minutes each way, and I go into the office 3 to 4 days a week. So I'm using that tedious process to consume volumes of information. And one podcast that's really strong, that consistently delivers value, is the Showrunner podcast. And that's from Rainmaker Digital, formerly known, they just rebranded as Copyblogger Media. And specifically, the Showrunner is really a podcast about how to podcast. But truthfully, it's evolved into a podcast about how to just develop a show, any show on any platform, by really engaging your audience. And, you know, the topic this past week, in the past 2 weeks, in fact, was based upon a listener question around social media platforms to use and how do you use a personal Twitter handle versus, say, a show Twitter handle. And bottom line, the recommendation from Johnny Naster, who I've really gained an appreciation for, is, you know, all put all that junk aside, right? Put all the platforms and the social media strategy and all the commanding a YouTube channel, put it aside. And we spoke to this North Star before. What is your North Star? What are you really trying to achieve? What goals do you have? What's your strategy and mission statement to drive towards those goals? That's what's most important. That's what's critical. That's to stay focused. That's to keep you highly productive. And then the content asset, a video, a blog, an infographic, and then the channel strategy, where it surfaces, that's completely a function of your goals and your strategy. And so don't, you know, as they were saying, don't get wound up on being the master of Periscope or the master of Blab. Focus on your goals, strategy, how do you want to resonate with your audience? Pick a platform and commit to it and work it, but don't get wound up in volume, right? Don't get wound up in thinking about Twitter followers or subscribers at this stage. Really just focus on refining your message, driving a content strategy, driving what's important to you and expressing yourself. And, you know, as we dug into last week, there's no better way to figure out how to get started or what you believe in than being so bold as to hit the publish button. So if it's writing, if it's video, take a few minutes, record your thoughts, hit publish. It's a very meaningful exercise to hit publish and start to develop your point of view. And you'll never have the perfect point of view until you work through many imperfect points of view. So I really stress the notion, and Johnny Naster on The Showrunner and Jared Morris and many others stress the notion of just get started. That aspect of hitting the publish button on a consistent basis really helps you refine your strategy. So that was the podcast recommendation for the week. A late comer to the recommendation segment, I just heard yesterday, Startup, which is from Gimlet Media, the folks, Alex Bloomberg from formerly of This American Life on NPR. Great storytellers, awesome episode. I got so much out of it to the extent that when the program was over, I sat in silence and even got a little misty because of the impact of the story and the storytelling. And it was a phenomenal hook and, you know, an unexpected ending, an unexpected surprise. And once again, it was about how to ruthlessly protect your time. And in this case, it was Alex's wife wanted to join their organization. And she traditionally has had a job that keeps her, you know, working. Her schedule is night, and she works from like 2 to 10 or something. And if she started, you know, left her job at MSNBC and started working with Gimlet, she would then have a normal working schedule and potentially be worried about falling into that gender role of being a mom and being the go-to person to run the house and put everyone to bed. And because of her work schedule, she was able to not embrace that specific gender role. So she, in effect, the hook to this story, which I encourage you to listen to, I'm doing it a disservice, she was ruthlessly protecting her time because she didn't want to fall into that standard gender role. So really great story. It's a good entertainment if you need a break from kind of all the deluge of business and sales podcasts. So anyway, that's the show for today. 3 segments. Please always ruthlessly protect your time. It's very critical. Don't do anything that once again doesn't achieve your team goals, your client goals, or your personal goals. And you know, one piece of advice we shared last week, which seemed to resonate, is always give, like you're going to get, a recommendation on your LinkedIn profile. And just make sure that you're adding value and contributing and sharing your knowledge and expertise and helping others, and that pays many dividends in return. That's the show for this week, and I have to wrap it up by saying, you know, we'd love to hear your comments, questions, struggles, social selling adoption stories, questions on social selling, ideas around strategy and mission statement development. So please comment and really have appreciated the feedback we've gotten so far. And now it's time to wrap it up with the final statements. I hope you Think like a marketer and sell like an animal. Let go of hate. Cheers. Blood in the water, oh, I will not hesitate because well, I'm an animal. I'm on my belly full. I will not go to my grave with this inside of me. Well, I'm an animal and I can feel the pull. It's time to open my cage.